Yeah, bringing it back in the garden right here with Rosie on the House and John J. Harper of Harper Nurseries. Answering questions on landscaping from all over the state. We're going to run down to Vail and talk to Jack, but first let's take Margaret in Central Phoenix. Margaret, good morning. How's your Arizona Saturday morning today, ma'am?
Isn't it gorgeous?
Isn't it gorgeous? It's wonderful.
It's sprinkling at my house, and it's kind of cloudy, but it's still gorgeous.
Nice, nice. This rain is just going to be perfectly timed for all the wildlife, the wildflowers. It's going to be a beautiful spring.
Right, and I hope it doesn't be too good for the roof rats.
Yes, well. Yes. The constant battle of the roof rats.
So, I just didn't get my roses pruned, and they're growing like gangbusters, and I don't really maybe have time to do them really well before the rain comes down harder. Shall I just lop them off?
Well, I wouldn't prune them heavy now like we do in January, you know, when we take them way down to maybe 12, 18 inches above the ground. I would still prune them, but maybe a much more modified pruning. So if they're 4 or 5 feet tall, I might take them down to half or something like that.
And thin out the middle a little?
You could do that, sure. Sure.
And
but just don't be in
schedule next year.
Just don't be anywhere near as severe as you would have, and then yeah, get back on track next year.
Where is your physical location of your nursery?
We're at Hayden Road, just south of Thomas, 2529 North Hayden Road.
We appreciate the call, and best to you with your roses. That's something I've never tried, but I'll tell you what, Mama Kay, she's got it down. It always on that west side. I guess it would be the north side, the way the bag. But
she has a nice little rose bed.
The rose and the jasmine and the mixed smell on the back patio just wouldn't be Mama Kay's house without those.
And John Jay, we're not going to take that rose back as aggressively as we would in January. For what reason?
Well, because it's already putting on all that new growth.
Yeah.
You know,
you'd lose everything.
You'd lose a lot of blooming.
Okay.
In fact, they're probably starting to bud.
Okay.
And you're going to lose some of that if you cut it back anything at all, but you don't want to delay it too long. So,
very good. Let's see if we can get to Jack. That leaves the line open for anybody else who would like to jump in. The line is open at 1-888-767-4348 right here at Rosie on the House. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, what's the sky look like in Vail this morning?
Oh, it is a beautiful sunny morning.
It is.
Wow.
No clouds at all, huh?
Well, a little bit here and there.
Okay.
Must be coming from the north.
I believe it is.
Yeah, news says you guys are going to get it all. So.
Okay.
So,
well, what are you up to?
On the 4th of July, I laid down some sod and had a beautiful yard for the first time in several years. And overseeded with rye. And then right when it got cold, it found a leak in my irrigation. It was just too cold to mess with it, so I just kind of let it go for the winter. And now it's time to resurrect it, make it all green instead of patchy green and yellow. And I wanted some advice on what to do to bring the lawn back.
Okay, so you basically let the winter lawn, the ryegrass, die or do whatever it was going to do without water the rest of the winter?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you fix that line now?
No, that's coming up. That's
that'd be probably the probably the first thing because
step
that
number one
at your elevation and your temperature, the Bermuda is still going to be dormant for a little bit yet.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'd go ahead and get that irrigation fixed in anticipation of needing to start watering. I usually just tell folks to let nature kind of start showing you that Bermuda will start waking up, start greening a little bit when you see.
You know, that's the sound my weeds are making.
Yeah, right. So when that Bermuda starts to green up a little bit, then, you know, get in there, get some fertilizer on it, start watering it a little more regularly. I would, you know, depending on how much rain you've gotten, even dormant Bermuda lawns, some winters if we go long stretches, it doesn't hurt to give them a little water. You know, every couple, 3 weeks or something, just so they don't get so dried out.
Right.
So that's kind of the deal. There's not much right now. Just get that irrigation fixed so that probably here in the next 30 days, you start to see some greening up of the actual Bermuda grass. Then start watering and feeding and get some fertilizer on it.
Right, and the grass is there is a little long. Should I wait to cut that off until it starts to come back, or go ahead and scalp
it now? Probably. No, I wouldn't scalp it now. I'd leave what's there. You know, it acts as kind of mulch. It keeps some moisture in the ground. It keeps weeds from, you know, or at least a lot of weeds from getting in there. If you have a very thick, dense overstory or thatch, it will keep weeds out. I wouldn't do anything till it starts to green up.
Okay. All right, then. Thanks for the advice.
You're welcome.
All right, Jack. Thanks for the call. Have a great Arizona weekend down in Vail. Pretty, pretty part of the state.
It is Rosie on the House. We are in hour number two, which is the Landscape and Garden Hour, and your opportunity to join at 1-888-767-4348. Anything that has to do with landscape, gardening, and vegetables. It's time to plant the vegetables. We've still got a great time to get in peppers in the ground, tomatoes. You had mentioned in the next hour, it's open line, of course, and then the last hour, it's about millennials and the housing. And you had made the observation recently that it's their buying perception of millennials is completely different.
You know, they didn't grow up, you know, haven't had a home before, their whole paradigm of gardening and what it should be is just different than everybody else. I think they are more analytical. They do a lot more research before they do things.
They do that all on social networking.
Well, yeah. I mean,
this is ages. The millennials technically actually are aged 20 to 37.
Okay.
Okay. So that's born in 1978 through 1995.
Okay. Well, I raised two of those. So, and I can tell you they do their due diligence. They do a lot more homework. Of course, it's easier to do homework now than when we were trying to figure all this stuff out. Just go online. Now, some of that's good, some of that's bad. You don't always get great information that way.
Like Mark Twain said, a guy that doesn't read good books is as useless as a guy that doesn't read at all.
Yeah, or worse. So they also, their perception of value is different. And they don't mind having something that's kind of, they have this sense of instant gratification a little more than we don't see a lot of these folks buying real small things and having maybe patience to watch it. They want it kind of to look good right now, and they don't mind paying for that if that's what they want. So that's my experience.
Yeah, I came across an old box that we were kind of cleaning out. And it was old pay stubs I had from the mid 1970s. And so that was even before these millennials, or I thought they were Generation Yers. What happened to Generation Yers? Nobody talks about them anymore. They're gone.
X and Y, yeah.
They've been absorbed into the millennials.
Into the millennials, yeah.
But I was making, I had a pretty good living, and I was being paid $8.17 an hour. $8.17 an hour. Union wage was only like $11.10 at that time.
Yeah. We often joke, you know, it had more walking around money when I first got out of college making $300 a week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And they don't have that frame of reference.
No.
They've always thought lunch was an $8 event.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah, I just chokes on, you know. I mean, I went to breakfast with a guy yesterday. It cost me $30.
I can remember the
breakfast.
Yeah. I can remember the Scottsdale Hills hamburger shop across from Scottsdale High School. Five burgers for $1. Remember that place?
Yeah.
Five burgers for $1.
There was one on McDowell called Burger Chef.
Yes.
Same deal. 29 cents. They don't have that. You know, and that's our. You know, they don't remember making $2.60 an hour. I think is what minimum wage was when I first started working, or something. Maybe it was less than that. I don't know, wasn't very much. So their paradigm, their comparison is just a lot different.
Well, I've not made a lot of money in real estate, not buying pieces of dirt or homes, because I could remember what I used to buy it for.
But I can remember my grandfather talking that you could buy all of Paradise Valley for, I want to say it was 15 cents an acre.
Yeah, well,
it was dirt cheap, but here's the paradigm to an old timer like that. There was, it wasn't tillable. It was all rocky, mountainy crap as far as he was concerned. And there wasn't any water.
Yeah.
You couldn't grow a crop on it, so it was worth 15 cents an acre, and who'd want it? His idea, remember when the mountain they were you could only build, they were developing all that legislation to preserve Camelback Mountain.
Yeah.
And he's like, you ought to build houses clear to the top of that thing and save all this flat ground to grow crops on.
Oh. All right. Well, we've got a line of callers here, so let's get right to them, starting in East Tucson with Jerry. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, I have five little miniature roses. I bought for my wife, actually, in January, you know, as a gift. You know, and when you buy them, they're so green and they're full of flowers and everything. Well, I expected the flowers to die, but I want to plant them in a pot outside, and I want to know how and what kind of fertilizer to use and that.
Well, you obviously you need a pot, and then you need good potting soil. The pot needs to have drainage, make sure water can run through the bottom of the pot, and use a good potting soil. And then, you know, the fertilizer, there's a lot of different options there, but I kind of like the time release, like Osmocote or Fertilome Start and Grow. I find very easy to use because you don't have to do it all the time. You don't have to mix it. You can kind of sprinkle it on, and every time you water, it releases a little bit. It lasts a couple months, and then you just do it every couple of months. That's not to say that the water solubles that you know, the ones you mix with water, aren't good. They're just they just take a little more time and remembering to do them. So
how about Miracle-Gro? Fertilizer.
Well, that's what I'm talking. It's a water soluble and it works great. You just have to remember to do it. And you should do it about every 30 days or so.
Well, we appreciate the call. Hope you get those looking very nice and refurbished for your wife. We have Ted in Sun City.
And Jerry, a colleague from East Tucson needs to know about our friends at the Magic Garden. I would call Pantano and 22nd Street East Tucson.
We'll be right back. It's Rosie on the house.